Welcome back to my YouTube channel, Out of Bounds, and it's Derby weekend. We've got the derbies that involve the two title challengers, Man City and Tottenham. I said Tottenham and Arsenal. That's Tottenham, which was the title challenge. So we've got the two title challengers, and I've got great guests with me. We've got a City fan. God knows he needs to start supporting the City.
He needs to be City. Is that how you're going to start the intro? Come on, bro. Don't do me like that, man. Come on.
So introduce yourself.
Cool, man. Good to have me on, bro. My name's Sam from Undiluted Media, the co-founder. And like Richard said, yes, I am a City fan. Get that into your head, right? I'm a City fan. Blue side of Manchester. We run teams. You already know.
Since 2012. And we have... and we have Dante over here. He's an Arsenal fan. No Champions League or Premier League for like 18 years, but he stuck through.
Man said 18 years. Get out of here. It hasn't been 18 years. How long has it been since he's been like Champions League? What, seven seasons, I think?
Actually, you never won the... Well, actually, the last time Arsenal won the Champions League, I was in the first year of uni. I graduated 3 years ago. You did a maths. Wow. But as I said, this is not about the hate. As I said, we are here with the... Manchester Derby and the North London Derby happening this weekend. As you know, the City and the United one is happening first. It's going to be at Old Trafford. And the last time City played United, I think it was 5-1 or something, 5-2 or something like that.
But in the league?
Yeah, when you guys played earlier in the season.
Oh, 6-3.
Oh, 6-3. Yeah, 6-3. So obviously, times have changed. City don't look as strong as they've done in previous years and whatnot, and you can see United start catching form. Sam, we'll just start with you. Are you as confident with City going into this derby as you were in the reverse fixture?
Yeah, I'm still confident because obviously we got big game players, and I'm guessing and I'm hoping they're going to step up. You know, going to Old Trafford, and yeah, there's going to be more pressure on us, but there's also going to be pressure on United as they're playing at home. The expectations have kind of changed a little bit over the last couple of games. But I'm just still confident that if we, you know, play the right way as we normally play, beautiful football, and just create as many chances we've got. We've got Haaland that's going to take chances, isn't it? Obviously, we lost yesterday in the Carabao Cup. For me, I think that's a good thing. It's less distraction where we can just focus on the Premier League and Champions League. So going back to your question, yes, I'm confident. I do think United are in good form. But I think we'll step up to the magnitude of the game and, you know, show them who runs Manchester. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Just one thing I want to ask you, because I've started to see circulate all over the place. And remember when we were still doing the zone and we were asked to give a prediction, and I must have picked Liverpool because I felt like City's play will take a step backwards. Mm-hmm. Not because of Haaland, but, you know, you've lost the two wings and you've got Haaland, whose game is very different from strikers that City have had in recent years, like Aguero. But now everyone is now starting to say Man City play worse with Haaland the team compared to previous season. What is your take on that?
I think there's some truth in that, just because obviously when we used to have like a Jesus or an Aguero, there were guys that could actually build up in the play of the game in terms of how we're playing. So we would have 11 men with the ball at one point, you know, passing, interaction, movement and stuff like that. Whereas now Haaland, his main focus is staying in the 6-yard box, the penalty area, and getting his goal. So now when you had 11 people involved in the game, now you've only got 10. So there's pros and cons to it. He's going to be less involved, but he's going to be in that position. For example, like when we play Real Madrid, all we need to do is take one chance and, you know, see out the game, which we wasn't able to do. But now having Haaland, that's something that he can do. So I will agree with it, but I'll also disagree, because there's going to be times where he's benefited us and there's going to be certain times where we might not play as well. Because we don't have that extra man in midfield that we previously had before.
Yeah. And with Dante, I just want to come to you quickly, because obviously you're an Arsenal fan and City are your title challengers going into this thing. Now, if it came to a situation where, as in, City were to lose this match, in fact, first of all, do you still fear City the way you would have feared City in previous seasons? Or do you still think, like, they're kind of maybe past it or they're in the decline of?
I wouldn't say I'd fear City, because like they're definitely beatable. Like we could obviously see from the game against Southampton. I mean, City didn't even have a shot on target. I was really shocked by that, obviously. So I think with City, every team is going to have weaknesses in their game, and so with Arsenal. So I think it's more of a case with Arsenal City. I think it's a case of if Arsenal continue to win their games, we'll win the league. I don't think we should like think about City as much as us, because we need to just focus on our own games. Like, because obviously City have got United, then you've got, I think you've got Tottenham as well. We've got Tottenham and we've got United. So games, the games that are leading up to the Arsenal City game will determine what happens going forward in the league, in my opinion. So
no, I don't know, because the thing is, I'm a bit torn on where I start with this, because obviously when you start the season, everyone is always talking about if City is going to win the league, and if anybody chooses a challenger, it's always going to be Liverpool to challenge City. Everyone, but you know, the way Liverpool are falling off, especially at the beginning of the season. But then as the season goes on, expectation changes. I think Arsenal have done really well up until this point. I just don't know if I can fully jump ship and say, you know what, Arsenal are title favourites. Because I think another thing I've seen Arsenal fans do is they try and talk like, well, at this stage, but you know what, winning the league hasn't really been an expectation. If we get top four, I'm still content with that. And I was thinking, you remember when I'm like Chelsea 2015, when I think we lost to Tottenham 5-3, but because of that goal we scored, we stayed ahead of the league. And it was never one of those things as in, you know what, Chelsea, we only have 1 point ahead, so, you know, just give us the top four, blah, blah. Obviously, two different teams, but it's one of those things as in, has the expectations changed for you to the point where you feel like Arsenal should now be title favourites, or is it still one of those things as in, it's still City title favourites and you're just going to be happy if Arsenal get top four regardless?
I think the biggest test for me was, I think, when Jesus got injured. I think I was going to judge it more on that, because I think Jesus is probably our first big injury of like the whole season. Because I think there's three players in this team where if one of them gets injured, our team could just capitulate. So in my opinion, that's Jesus, that's Saka, and that's Thomas Partey. Any of those three get injured, our team capitulates. And what I've seen from Eddie Nketiah gives me hope that we can still win the league, even with Jesus being out. So I think because we beat West Ham and Brighton, I have more confidence knowing that we can win the league. However, we still need to play City twice. We still need to play United. We still need to play Tottenham. We still need to play Chelsea. So am I confident we can win the league? Yes, of course we can win the league. Will we win the league? It's a different question. So
yeah, and because obviously, I forgot to mention, we're going to do like a combined 11 for all, like Tottenham, Arsenal, City and United. So we're not going to do too much deep analysis. But I just want to ask, how crucial do you think this game is for the title race?
It's crucial in the terms of keeping the points tally close. But just as Dante said, and we both know, we still have to play Arsenal home and away. So that's 6 points there anyway, that is in the bank in terms of you can use that to chop down at the points. But you wouldn't want to lose to, we wouldn't want to lose to United and then Arsenal wins, then it goes back to 8 points. Because yes, we should, or we're hoping that we're going to beat Arsenal, but in a game, anything can happen. A guy can get sent off in the first 10 minutes, change the way we play, and then Arsenal can nick a goal or whatnot. But we have seen, not frailties, but we saw against Newcastle that if you've got a team that can, obviously we're not going to play like that, but a solid block, you know, a good team ethos, and if Arsenal need to make changes, they don't have the players to come off the bench to make those changes. Whereas you've seen us, I don't know why Pep played like that against Chelsea. First half, it was poor. Second half, made changes, brought in Akanji, brought on Lewis, brought on Mahrez and Grealish, and then he scored the goal. Whereas you guys, you want to bring on subs, you're bringing on Tomiyasu.
Yeah.
I don't know who else. Do you know what I mean?
And that's what it's come down to. Yeah, I definitely agree with you with that. I think that's why I think it's so important that the Arsenal owners actually back Arteta. Because I think, in my opinion, if we don't back Arteta, that could be one of the factors that maybe we don't win the league, for example. And this is why it's important that we do win games if we score goals in the first half, there's a chance for us winning the game as a whole. Whereas if, like against Newcastle, like if we don't score with like 11 players on the bench and we have no one on the bench to change that, then there's no chance of us winning, in my opinion. So
yeah, so just before we just talk a bit about the North London derby, so what do you think the scores will be this weekend for the City United game?
Look,
City fan, you can go first.
All right, that's cool. I think when we go to Old Trafford, we always play well. Like in the last few years, I've always been skeptical when we played at home because we hadn't played well. Ollie would always sit back and want to counter. And then when United play at Old Trafford, just because of the fans, they can't take that risk to sit back. So for me, I think it's either going to be a 2-0 victory or a 3-1. So I believe there's going to be a margin of two goals for us. So 2-0 or 3-1 to City, man.
What are you done to?
I'm gonna go 3-2 City. I was really on the fence. Like before we jumped on here, I was so close to going for a United win. But then when I realized, I'm not even joking to you, but when I sat back, I just thought to myself, City's one of those teams where they've lost one game, there's no way they're gonna lose two on the bounce. That's how I see it. So I just thought I'm thinking City might nick it a 3-2. So but listen, don't be surprised if United take anything from this game, because United have been probably the most informed team. Like yeah, they've won their last, was it three games? Arsenal haven't won their last three games because we drew against Newcastle. So United are the informed team. They're playing at Old Trafford and stuff.
But I was talking to my Man United brethren, and I just said, I hear it, but you guys haven't had the test. Like they're saying Rashford's on form, which he may be, but you're scoring goals against Charlton, against Everton FA Cup, that's not really great at the moment. Yes, they got a point against us, but we saw them, they got pammed against Brighton. So they're not really a great team. And he's got 15 goals, but if you take away a certain amount of goals that he scored against minor teams, his form isn't really that great. And neither is Man United. They've just done what they've been expected to do. So this is going to be their challenge. Do you know what I mean?
But yeah, I do see City winning this game. Hence why I think it's important that Arsenal win their game against Tottenham as well. So... like, listen, the more City keep winning, I'm thinking to myself, we need to win. Regardless of if City win, draw, or lose, Arsenal just need to win their games. So,
no, I'm just going to agree. I think I'm going to go 2-2 just because I do think, obviously, City can switch on whenever, but I just think, and I do agree they have played shit teams, but they're coming in with a lot of confidence into the game. And I think Rashford is coming in with confidence. Anthony spinning man, he's a bit confident as well. And you see the way Casemiro is balling as well, and it's at Old Trafford. So I think the crowd will be right behind them as well. So I'm going to go 2-2. But just switching over to North London Derby quickly, just before we do the combined 11 for all the teams. I can't remember the last time an away team won that derby. Do you still think, going what you know, because I think if you look at the past two or three seasons, the home team have always won that game. Do you think that could change going into this weekend as Spurs at home?
I mean, going into this game, Arsenal are the favourites to win this game, but you can't put it past Tottenham to like turn up against Arsenal. So, listen, I'm confident, but at the same time, there's something in the back of my mind thinking Tottenham could easily get a point, because Tottenham is one of those teams where this season they're only turning up in the second half. That's why I think it's important that we start on the front foot. And if we start on the front foot, get a couple of goals on them early, and then defend really well in the second half, then we should beat them. And we can beat them as well.
Yeah, but... And the thing is, I do think Arsenal could win, but... So I'll ask you, Sam. Because as I mentioned, the way home advantage always counts in this derby... I mean, you saw it last season as well. Whereas in Arsenal, you had to win the game at Tottenham. And Arsenal on a roll as well, going to that game. They should have been favourites as well. But then... It seemed like they just started playing that stadium, and for some reason, the home team's just always so. How do you feel like that game will go, Sam, knowing the home team is just always winning in that game?
And look, I hear you, and it's not even just in the North London derby. Most derbies, form goes out the window, isn't it? Because
exactly,
fighting for exactly pride of that the city or where you're repping. So, and especially like you said, the North London derby, it is more so the team that's playing at home, you know, prevails. And a lot of the teams, away teams, they lose their head. Like last season we saw Holden, he was doing a madness for no reason. There was no need for it, and he was playing the stage and not the game. Like he was rushing into tackles for no reason, and he got sent off. And yes, it did change the game, but it seemed like Tottenham was ready in that gear of like, okay, they're looking to win. So I do think that Tottenham's gonna have an advantage. Arsenal have been playing well, but like I've said, form goes out the window, so anything can happen, and I wouldn't put it past Spurs winning. You know what I mean?
Okay, so let's give our predictions for that game before we go into the combined. I'm going I'm going to go 3-1 Tottenham.
Ooh, okay. Go on, Dante. It's your team. You can go before me.
I'm going to go 3-1 Arsenal.
And I'm going to say 2-2 draw.
Hold on. Sorry. Richard, why do you think Tottenham are going to score 3 goals past us when they've struggled to... where we've got a really good defence?
And you just confirmed form goes out the window when it comes to North London derby.
That is true.
First of all, so we know Harry Kane goal is coming, and you know Son goal is coming, so that's 2 goals on the table already. So it's just about where does the other goal come from. And as I said, the way that, I mean, North London derby, I think, is the most hostile derby of all the derbies we've got in this country. I mean, you look at, because even Chelsea are playing today, and no really counts as a derby because Fulham aren't historically as good as Chelsea. Not that Tottenham are as good as Arsenal historically as well, but there's been moments in history where you can say Tottenham have been better than Arsenal, whatever. But the way, I mean, the crowd's always pumping, I mean, the tackles are going to be flying and whatever, and Arsenal did drop points against Newcastle, so I do think there's now a bit of pressure. Remember, Newcastle was the first time this season where they haven't scored a goal, so it's how did they even react to that as well, knowing that they can't go a game without scoring and whatnot. So, I don't know. I mean, Arsenal could win and it wouldn't surprise me, but knowing what history has shown us and the pressure, I do think, different pressure what Arsenal are under, do you think Tottenham can win this?
So, and also, I think what you have to consider as well, I think with the Tottenham-Arsenal game last season, we had injuries. Tottenham were in a better position because they had all their players fit. Arsenal didn't have all their players. We didn't even have Thomas Partey. And you know, when we don't have Thomas Partey in the team, we're not Arsenal. We're like mid-table, if not lower than mid-table. So that's why I think, because we've been in form and scoring goals, I think we'll score 3 past them. And also, I do think, don't forget, we actually played well in the Arsenal-Newcastle game. It's just the fact Newcastle defended really well. So that's my opinion on that.
Well, similar to like what you said, Arsenal got off to a good start. Obviously, they didn't take the chances, or they didn't have enough clear-cut chances. But yeah, then after that, enough. Things just kind of changed. The momentum went to Newcastle. Newcastle had chances, but they just played the game in a way where it was just compact and Arsenal couldn't really manoeuvre. Odegaard wasn't creating as he would usually do. Saka was getting double-teamed. And again, you had no second option in terms of bringing on someone that might be just direct. They're not cutting in, just direct. Martinelli was quiet. He was looking Peruvian again. Do you know what I mean? So... It was just one of those things. So it'll be very interesting. And again, it's going to be a hostile environment. Let's see how everyone steps up, Tottenham players and Arsenal players, because it's going to be a very hostile environment and there's going to be pressure because we're playing at 12:30. So if we win,
that's even more pressure.
It's okay, cool.
Even more pressure. Now, nice, you have to like, yeah. Imagine playing at 12:30 and then like Arsenal just having to sit the whole day thinking, oh, we need to play. We have to play Tottenham. Oh, we have to go to, like, that's just, yeah. That's a lot of, like, mental stress in their brain. But anyhow, yeah. Anywho.
Okay, on to the combined 11. As I said, we're going to do one for Tottenham, City, United and Arsenal. So, starting with the goalkeepers, we've got Lloris, Alisson, Ramsdale and De Gea.
Ed. Okay, cool.
Who do you think should be in goal for that game?
I would say Edison. He's the best goalkeeper there.
Yeah, I'm going to have to go Edison as well.
Yeah, I can't argue with that, to be honest. Well, what Ramsdale has a good claim, though. Ramsdale does have a good claim, but I would go with Edison.
Okay, so we all agree on that. We move on. So the right back, so we've got Ben White, Walker, Doherty. In fact, he doesn't even count. Doherty and Dalot. Or Wan-Bissaka, whoever you want to pick.
I'm going Ben White personally.
Yeah, same. Based on form, I'd go and consistency this season. Yeah, Ben White. It has to be Ben White. Cancelo looks smelly. The World Cup, he wasn't good. And then he came in, he played Chelsea. Pep put him in that right wing position. And I think with Cancelo, he's a person that he knows how to play ball when he starts at a lower position, starting at right back. But when you push him further up the field, he just seems lost. And you've seen that because you've seen Rico Williams come in and Rico Williams just looked comfortable playing in that position that Pep wants to do. Maybe Cancelo just got a loss of confidence. But yeah, right now, Ben White, man.
And obviously Cancelo still has a case for left back if anybody wants to put him there. But for left back, we've got Cancelo again, Zinchenko.
Your City boy.
So Zinchenko, who plays left? Oh, Luke Shaw, and who plays left back for Tottenham? Perisic or left wing
Perisic
back?
Perisic would play like left wing back.
I'm thinking Luke Shaw. I think I might have to pick Luke Shaw.
You know what? At first I was thinking Zinchenko, but he hasn't been playing consistently.
That's what I was gonna say.
Yeah.
And that goes for the same with Tierney. So I'd rather Cancelo hasn't been playing either.
Yeah, I might be biased, yeah. I was gonna throw a toss up and just say who's been playing consistently for us there and played well is Nathan Ake. That's what I would do that because he's played well there. On the defensive end.
Sure.
Pardon?
Nathan Ake over Luke Shaw. You see, this is tough, and I think Luke Shaw has really done, especially in this stretch, United has really done really well for them.
All right, cool. I don't mind putting Luke Shaw there. I'm not going to argue because Cancelo hasn't played well right back or left back consistently. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? So I wouldn't do that.
Yeah, okay. So I'll go Luke Shaw then.
Okay. And then centre backs, I'm not going to list all of them because there's too many to pick from. I mean, let's just all go around and pick the two centre backs
okay.
to be in there.
Cool. Do you want to go first, Dante?
Saliba for me definitely has to be in there. He's probably one of the best defenders in the league.
Mm-hmm.
And my next defender. Oh, I don't know. I think it's between Akanji and Gabriel. I think it's between Akanji and Gabriel because from what I've seen of Akanji, he looks all right.
Yeah, yeah, he does.
But at the same time, Gabriel's done all right as well. So,
what about you, Sam?
I would go because I'm not going to be too City biased. I would say Saliba and John Stones.
Saliba, I think we're all for guessing. I'm thinking so. We all agree Saliba's in there.
Yeah,
I'm thinking Varane. I think Varane should be. You don't think?
I don't think
John Stones, man. He's played really well. And when we've asked of him to step up, he has, like, in certain games, he's been the guy. Like, and like we said earlier, this season has been a bit weird for City. Also, we had the World Cup, but normally our pairing would be Laporte and Diaz at the back. Those two have hardly played. Diaz is injured at the moment. Laporte's been injured. And it's been Akanji and Stones. Then look at the tackle he made against Chelsea to stop Pulisic from scoring. Like, he's actually played well.
I agree with you in terms of how big John Stones has stepped up. But I look back to, I think, of, for example, if you were to remove John Stones and you were to put, like, Diaz in there, for example, even though I don't know why he's falling off the cliff, but you put Diaz, Laporte instead, Laporte, Akanji, I still think you can still get maybe it's the same level of production from City's backline. I think if you take Varane out of United's team, we've seen it this season, they just seem to completely fall off the cliff. And I feel like, in terms of who's more important to their team, I think Varane is, obviously that comes with United being a worse team, but Varane is a lot more important to United than John Stones is to City.
Do you think that's Varane or is that more so Casemiro? Because that's where they always complain that they didn't have a good DM. So
is it Varane
or is it Casemiro that's being a great shield and dropping back and having a back three? Because if you put Maguire there and you still had Casemiro dropping back, it still helps them in terms of defensive situations. Do you know what I mean?
But even last season, I thought Varane was quite good. It was just very injury prone. Okay, you know what? Since the Dante, you get the final sin, or we go Varane or John Stones?
Cool.
I mean, they've both been good. I think we're gonna struggle for United players, so we'll put Varane in. We're not gonna get much United players in, so we'll put Varane in my opinion.
We've already got Luke Shaw in anyways, but
I'll take that L there. Cool. I'll take the L there, it's fine. Yeah.
But you'll get hard on top is alright. You'll get hard on top.
I know, I think one of the toughest places, I don't know how tough it is, but it's a debate you see all the time though.
Nah, it's one of the toughest.
Casemiro, Thomas Partey,
and Rodri
or Holberg, but I don't think anyone is, man, fuck that name, man. No,
honestly, honestly, I think for me, like, I'm going to go for Partey. Sam, you're going to go for Rodri.
You already and know. Then
Richard, like, Richard, you're a Chelsea fan, so you probably, I don't even know who.
Oh, I'm picking Casemiro.
You, exactly, so.
I don't know, it's tough. It's because the thing is, okay, when all things are considered, I mean, when you start thinking about what everyone has done in their careers and whatnot, blah, 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 I do think Casemiro has the best case. But then again, we're going based off the season. And I think we're going based off the season. I think Partey might have the strongest case based off, because if I'm going to say who's more important to the team with the whole Varane and John Stones thing, then I'm going to have to be fair and apply the same thing here. And I think Arsenal, if they lose Partey, their season is done. If City
lock off.
Three,
lock off.
It's not done yet, but all three of them, in terms of their position for that team, is very vital. You take all three of them out, 100%. Then they're not the same. Because you put Gundogan there, he's not doing the role that Rodri does at that level. Because Rodri is just that sweeper that sits in front of the back two, and he can drop down and he can protect. Same with Casemiro, same with Partey. It's just, you could just probably say where the drop-off is more, innit?
I think what I can add to Partey's case, I think what I can add to Partey's case as well is Partey's got a couple of goals in him as well. I mean, you saw the goal against Nottingham Forest, you saw the goal against Tottenham.
These guys are a lot of them.
Yeah, but yeah, last season he was scanning a lot of them. But hey, but to be fair, Rodri has that in as well in his locker.
Yeah,
Rodri has that as well in his locker. So
some clutch goals.
I think in this one, we're going to have to agree to disagree, honestly.
And yeah, we could just put all three, or we could just go with Richard. It's his show. He makes the decision. We'll go with it. We might not agree with it, but you just make the final decision, innit?
Wait, so are we putting Casemiro in there?
If you want to, I don't mind.
It's up to you.
I wouldn't be mad.
Because they've equally been good.
You can put Casemiro in there with a disclaimer. The other two centre mids, so obviously, because we're going to play like a 4, I think every
4-3-3.
So
the next two centre mids I'm going to fill in, and you guys can pick your ones as well. I'm picking Odegaard and KDB for the next two centre mids.
Let's move on.
Let's move on. That's Arsenal's hope, you know, Odegaard. That's their hope. The guy with the O and A in his back. Yeah.
And you know Hold on. You know it is? Because I could easily have a case for Granit Xhaka as well. But because you're saying De Bruyne, I think you cannot not put De Bruyne in this team.
Yeah, you can't.
So, but I have to make a claim for Xhaka because Xhaka's done very well this season.
And
but
I'm not going to be bad at it because I was going to say Bernardo Silva. But Odegaard has been New York's creator. And if we're going to play 2-8s that go into half spaces, then yeah, KDB and Odegaard, we can't complain. It's true. Let's move on.
Okay, cool. So then we've got the right wing position. Now, obviously, you've got Mahrez, you've got Kulusevski, you've got Antony, and you've got Saka. Mm.
Child of God. Mm.
Hey.
Okay, so who would be, so if you also ask me who I think the best player of all of them is, I still think Mahrez might have the best case for being the best one out of all of them. But I don't know. There's just something that, so for me, there's only two players that could be in there. I think it's either Mahrez or Saka. I think Mahrez is the better player, but in terms of what they've been able to do this season, I don't know.
Don't get me wrong, Mahrez is a good player, but Saka's done it this whole season. Like, with Mahrez, you think to yourself, is he going to play? Is he not going to play? Whereas Saka's probably one of the first names on the team sheet, without a shadow of a doubt.
I hear that, but that Mahrez thing is not because of Mahrez hasn't played well. It's because how Pep likes to freshen up the team and rotate.
Yeah, of course.
When he has played, he's actually made it. Like, you see the FA Cup game against Chelsea. Man bossed it. You see, when he came on against Chelsea in the league, he made a difference in the right place at the right time. And he's been very effective. We've seen him against Liverpool, Carling Cup, done the same thing. So we've seen him do stuff in the league. Yes, Saka has done his thing. But again, that's just the PR of the Euros from 2021, and it's been carried. It's just kept carrying over. He's played well, don't get me wrong, but he's got that
he's got a strong PR
behind him, so everyone just, yeah, you gotta go with Saka. You see what happened to him, to the Euros, let's get behind him. I'm not mad at it, innit? But me personally, I just think this season Mahrez has been on point. I can't lie.
Yeah, I'm not saying Mahrez hasn't been on point, but I'm just saying Saka's played almost every single game and has bossed it. Hence why I have to go Saka, in my opinion. Like, honestly, if I'll be out of all these positions, I'd be devastated if Saka didn't get in.
Oh, dude, that's the Saka PR there. That's the Saka. I'm saying I'll be devastated. That's the PR.
But you know what it is. You know what it is. Because with all the positions, I can concede because other players have been good, but like because of how well Saka's been this season, not even just in the Premier League, but the World Cup as well, on smoke. So you think to yourself,
let's put BS7. It's fine. Let's put BS7. That's okay. That's cool. What Dante wants. We'll put him in.
Fuck it.
I made his day. It's fine.
There we go.
We'll sneak in Saka in there.
Yes. Man said sneak in.
People that like to call him Saka, but Saka, Saka. You know what? He's in there. Now the other left wing position. I think this one is a bit difficult as well. You've got Son, Rashford, Martinelli, and I don't know, Grealish.
Grealish or Foden.
On our left hand side, we haven't had enough consistency there, so I'm not gonna say any United player, any City player. We haven't had one play there.
I think if you were to say before this season, I do think it would have been clearly Son, but Son has been whacked this season, in my opinion. So I think he's eliminated himself. So it's between Rashford and Martinelli.
Now, but obviously, go on, bro, continue.
Until this hot streak, I think it would have been clear to say, you know what, it's Martinelli. But what Rashford has done in recent games as well, you can say the teams he's played, but you can only beat what's in front of you. And he's done it in the Premier League as well. Huge drop. Who makes it, Martinelli or Rashford?
If we're going based on that, then I have to put Rashford, because Martinelli, again, he's got some PR, but it's just like sometimes he's not doing much, but it just looks like he is because he's agitated. He's moving around, isn't it? And it's like, nothing's happening with it. So I'll say Rashford, man. Let's go Rashford, me personally.
I don't mind going Rashford, to be honest. I mean, Martinelli's been in form, but you probably just have to edge out Rashford, because Rashford's been in form as of late. So,
and scoring goals as well.
And scoring goals as well. I mean, I think if it wasn't for Rashford's goals, you wouldn't be winning. I don't think Man United would be winning most of their games. Like, he scored against Wolves, scored against Everton, scored two against Charlton. So you think to yourself, you probably have to edge out Rashford, in my opinion.
And the last position, we've got the striker position.
Let's just end the video.
EH9, that's it.
No case for Harry Kane.
Let's just end the video. Like,
No.
No case for Harry Kane. I mean, you know Harry Kane has scored 15 league goals this season, which is just one.
Yeah, but you know.
Haaland has been a monster this season. Bro, like,
fastest player to 20 goals in the Premier League era.
Even if Jesus wasn't injured, I'd probably still say Haaland. Because what Haaland's done... Jesus has done well for Arsenal, because he's actually... he's actually changed the way how Arsenal have played, but... the way how Haaland's moving, that guy can get to like 30 Premier League goals. If like, you know, he'll get to 35, if I'm not surprised, because we're not even finishing the month of January yet. So,
and you got to remember, he's got to play a lot of them smelly teams again: Bournemouth, Nottingham Forest, Everton.
No Hurricane cases over here.
Not at all. Nah.
Harry, I tried to fight for you, but it is what it is. So. Let me just give a quick rundown of the team for
people. Hold on, did we even put a Spurs player in there? I don't think we put a Spurs player in.
Oh. Damn, they're whack.
It says a lot, though, isn't it? That's what I'm saying.
I tried to fight for Harry Kane, but it is what it is. So we've got Edison in goal, right back Ben White, Salibas, and
I said Salibas.
John Stones. Luke Shaw left back, Casemiro, KDB, and Odegaard in midfield. Right wing, PR Saka, left wing, Rashford, Trashford, whatever you want to call him. And up front, we've got Haaland.
Come on, Majin Buu up front.
Yeah, so yeah, as I said, the games are coming up. Big title decider. Could you be 8 points after the weekend is done, or 2 points after the weekend is done? But yeah, that wraps up another video. Don't say anything to promote.
No, just check out me on the Center Circle on YouTube, the Center Circle on Instagram as well. Look out for a couple of videos coming in the future. I've got maybe an Arsenal Man United preview coming next week as well. So yeah, keep out on the lookout for those videos. But yeah, that's me.
And you, Sam?
Yeah, just on our end, follow us on Instagram, which is Undiluted Media _. Follow us on Twitter, which is Undiluted Media 1, and our YouTube page is Undiluted Media. Yeah, we're just working on putting out more content, being more consistent, so stay tuned. And yeah, tell a friend to tell a friend, man.
Yeah, and follow me on, or follow my sports page on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube, outofbounds_UK. And you can find me on my personal TikTok and Instagram at rich_LDNN. The I is a one. Like, subscribe, share, all that good stuff. And thank you for tuning in.